At DSW, we ask the important questions, like, what shoes are you going to wear? Whether you're prepping for wedding season, festival season, or just planning the ultimate vacay, the right shoes can make or break an RSVP. So own the moment. You've got big plans, and we've got just the shoes. At the perfect price, of course. Get ready to get ready with Designer Shoe Warehouse. Head to your DSW store or DSW.com today, and let us surprise you.
Whoa, okay. This one says you get a free phone if you switch. Hey, this one also says you get a free phone if you switch.
Yeah, they all do, hon.
Huh. The T-Mobile one says their customers had the lowest wireless bills versus the other big guys over the past 5 years. And their latest experience plans have Netflix included, plus a year of DashPass by DoorDash.
Mm-mm-mm. Hang on, let me see that. Oh, yeah, we're switching.
That's what I'm talking about. Do we clap now or...
At T-Mobile, get savings that keep stacking up. That's value you can feel every day. And right now, bring your phone to T-Mobile and we'll give you $400 when you switch.
Savings based on Harris X billing snapshots from Q3 2021 to Q4 2025 compared to average AT&T and Verizon bills. Comparison excludes discounts, credits, and optional charges. $400 with new account on qualifying line. Unlocked device credit ported 90 plus days with device and carrier and timely redemption required. Virtual MasterCard typically takes 14 weeks. No cash access and expires in 6 months. Card issued by Sunrise Banks N.A. Member FDIC. Visit T-Mobile.com.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Personal finance can feel like a pop quiz you didn't study for. This podcast is your study guide. On NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast, you'll hear from trusted journalists who explain the why behind major financial decisions. You'll get research-backed insights and clear pros and cons, whether you're planning a big purchase or just want to grow your wealth. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
At Lowe's, we're about to kick off something epic for fans who want more messy. And trust us, you'll want to be a rewards member when it happens. Join for free and get access to messy exclusives, surprises, and more. Head to Lowe's.com/moremessy. Now's the time to get in because members get more at Lowe's. Loyalty programs subject to terms and conditions. Visit Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
Now, at your service. Welcome to the St. Louis Composting Garden Hotline with Mike Miller on the Voice of St. Louis, KMOX.
Broadcasting live from the Arch Grounds. Brought to you by Gateway Arch National Park. Celebrating National Public Lands Day today. Visit nps.gov/Jeff for details.
Thank you, Scott, and hello to you. How is your plant world doing? I will tell you, here at the Arch Grounds, the plant world is absolutely fantastic. But if you'd like to talk about your landscape, your plants, indoors or out, simply give a call, 314-436-7900 or 1-800-925-1120. And as usual, leading off every Saturday morning is the Good Gardening Stroll. And then afterwards, we can discuss what's going on with your trees. Why are your perennials looking so sad? Especially those peonies. And what is all that white stuff that's on them? How about your lawn? Your cool season lawn versus your warm season zoysia? Ground covers? Well, anything planted in the outdoors. Or we can step inside into your tropical world. Speaking of your tropical world, if you have moved them outside for the summertime, you better start looking for those bugs and everything and get that taken care of before you bring them in, because you should get them in by mid-October. That's going to be to the best. Or we can talk about planting mix, planting soils, pruning, as I said, insect troubles, suspicious growth or spots, transplanting. Can you do some transplanting this time of year? Of course, this is the ideal time. Ideal time to plant as well, because the ground is warm. Consequently, that encourages root system growth, and then the plants get to go to sleep for the wintertime. That's the advantage of fall planting. I'll share my knowledge, and hopefully it will help you make a good decision, but the action you take is going to be on your shoulders. And remember, this is your show, and I appreciate you having me into your plant world. Another very important player is Brian. Brian's here. He's doing all the engineering here, and then Drew is producing back in the studio. So Drew will answer your phone call, put it onto a computer screen, And then the sun is so bright I can barely see it, but that's okay. I'll try to do my best. By the way, I'm Mike Miller. I've been hosting the Garden Hotline since 1994. And besides a Saturday morning get-together, I can come to your plant world for an on-site consultation, which I call a walk and talk. You can go to my website, MikeMillerDesigns.com. On the homepage, there is my email address and phone number. Well, let's get strolling. This walk is brought to you by St. Louis Composting, 636-861-3344. When I first arrived at the Arch Grounds, the sun was rising and it was a brilliant orange ball. It was really perfect. Crickets were singing. The North Garden made possible by the Garden Club of St. Louis. A winding path, steps down, lawn sweeps here, there, and everywhere. Trees planted along the walkway. Yes, lots of trees. And the arch entry uphill from where I was. It was painted on the sidewalk. And where we are, we're basically right next to Eads Bridge, so you're going to get to hear some interesting background sounds as well. As we're sitting right here, crabapple trees are fruiting, squirrels are bouncing, ornamental grasses are heading towards sleep, and sycamores rule the walkway. I mean, that's along the entire walkway. Sycamores, 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 and more sycamores. A sign reads, "The riverfront is to the left, arch entry visitor center to the right." And as a few more steps along the way, oh, there's a great lake that reflects the surroundings, and I mean fantastic. Silver arch streaks skyward, opening such a sense of wonder. Whoa, people are bringing us shade. How can that be? I'm not worthy. But anyway, so I ran into Pam. She's a park ranger here. I'll be talking to her after the first break or whatever. But as you go towards the arch, you can go down the steps and take a tram ride to the top. It takes 4 minutes to get to the top, but only 3 minutes down because it is downhill. Dan Kiley did the original landscape design, and much of it is still true and beautiful. And on the north end, well, there is an area that is basically Explorer's Garden. And that's native plants likely seen by Lewis and Clark when they first came to St. Louis. So Mike Miller, KMOS Garden Hotline, 314-436-7900 or 1-800-925-1120. Back after these messages.
Welcome to the St. Louis Composting Garden Hotline.
Broadcasting live from the Arch Grounds. Brought to you by Gateway Arch National Park, celebrating National Public Lands Day today. Visit nps.gov/Jeff for details.
Yes, folks, Mike Miller, KMOS Garden Hotline, 314-436-7900, 1-800-925-1120. If you have any questions, concerns, or comments about your plant world. But joining me right now is Pam. She is a park ranger here. She's been here at the Arch Grounds for 3.5 years.
Yes.
And prior to that?
Prior to that, I worked at Ulysses S. Grant National Historic Site here in St. Louis.
Oh,
down
really?
By Grant's Farm. Yeah.
So I see you have a badge and everything, full uniform. She has a really great hat, but she couldn't wear her hat and have the headphones on at the same time. So it was a little difficult. But anyway, tell me a little bit about the Arch Grounds and, you know, your perception and everything.
Sure. Well, when the City Arch River project was completed in 2018, it re-envisioned the entire park grounds. We've got 91 acres of land here and over 5 miles of walking paths. And while we kept the original Dan Kiley design, of course, that was part of the original arch landscape, we just enhanced it a little bit more with many, many more trees and plants, and bringing in that Explorer's Garden was really important to us from a historic perspective.
Yes, very much so. And it's really an enjoyable, it's 5 miles of pathways, is that correct?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I didn't walk all 5 miles, but I probably walked a mile or so this morning and with you most of the time. And just in general, I have a question. You know, in the news, they keep talking about the federal government shutdown coming potentially in 10 days or something, 9 days. Now, would that impact the Arch Grounds? Because this is a national federal type thing.
It is. We are part of the National Park Service, so an agency in the Interior Department. The grounds themselves would remain open in the case of a potential shutdown, but the buildings, all of the facilities would be closed.
So the tram and everything would be just...
Correct. Yeah, you wouldn't be able to take the tram ride to the top or see our amazing new museum or any of the...
So that's just kind of incredible that they, I mean, something like that can have that kind of impact. You know.
Throughout the country, there are a lot of people who would be impacted by that. We are hopeful that Congress will
wake up,
pass the appropriation, and we can continue to come to work and share all that we have to offer with visitors.
So here at the Arch Grounds, you said it's 90 acres?
91 acres.
91. Mm-hmm. And how many staff members are there?
About 150 with all of our partners that help run the trams and operate the gift shop and the cafe that's inside as well.
And like mowing the grass and everything, that's by staff as well, correct?
Yes, yes. We have a full grounds crew that does just an amazing job keeping the grounds looking as beautiful as they do.
And they really, I mean, it is absolutely striking. As I'm sitting looking toward, with my back to the Eads Bridge, looking towards the arch, is just a fantastic view.
It is. I have been all over this park, and there's never a bad view.
No, there really isn't.
And I constantly have my camera out, or my phone out, to take a photo.
Yeah, and you took one this morning of
several.
The lake.
I did. The reflecting ponds are obviously to reflect the arch, and the design of them is the curves similar to the arch has. And yet, in that reflecting pond, I was capturing some of the trees, and when I turned the picture upside down, you couldn't tell which was the tree and which was the reflection.
Right. I saw that, and it was, I mean, unbelievable. So that was really great. Mm-hmm. Well, I want to thank you for, you know, sharing time with me today and, you know, offering me your insight and everything else. And I certainly appreciate you and everybody here on the staff that makes this just a wonderful place.
Sure. Well, thank you. And we hope people will come down today for National Public Lands Day. We have lots of activities going on, yoga under the arch, a sustainability fair this afternoon, and a river front cleanup going on as well.
Right.
National Public Lands Day is the largest volunteer service day throughout the year, and cleaning up the riverfront is really important.
Right. Too much plastic.
Yes.
Well, anyway, thank you, Pam. It's nice to meet you, and just nice and enjoyable.
Same here. Thank you so much.
Certainly. My pleasure. Now, let's head to the phones. Let's go and see what's going on in Bill's yard. Hi, Bill.
Hi, Mike. How are you today?
Very good.
I have two questions. We got... two surprise mums dropped off on our front porch. Can I replant them, or is that a waste of time? And then we were given a small ornamental piece that is really about five times in a big pot, is five times bigger than it was. Is it okay to replant it outside?
Now, what was this?
Bury the pot?
What was this, the plant that you, the second one you were talking about?
It's an ornamental peach.
Oh, ornamental peach tree. Okay.
Yeah.
I would say
It's got maroon, it's got like maroon
foliage.
I don't know, leaves. Yeah.
Yeah, leaves. Right. Basically, probably what I'd do is, what I would probably do with a peach tree is dig a hole in a garden space and just drop the pot down into a hole for this first season. And then next year, I would say leave it in the pot for the full year until next fall and then plant it at that time. Unless you can get it planted by mid-October, then you can go ahead and plant it if you've got the spot, you know, that you're going to located to. And just remember, you want to dig the pot or dig the hole three times the diameter of the root ball, but only 80% is deep, so the top of the root ball is above the surrounding ground. And related to your mum is that you got, is a mum in bloom?
Yeah, it's starting to.
Yeah, it's going to be a little iffy to try to plant it. I would say just leave it in a pot and almost treat it like an annual. And probably, who knows, weather-wise, when the weather's going to sort of like send it downhill. But I would just kind of give it a toss after that. I mean, if you want to, you can go ahead and try to, you know, have it winter over. But the success that you're going to have is going to be somewhat limited.
Try, because I don't want to catch any problems from other people that think it ought to be perfect.
Well, we
appreciate it, and I'm going to plant my Buckeye today. So,
all right, sounds good.
Okay, thank you very much.
Certainly, my pleasure. And now let's head over to Judy's yard. Hi, Judy. Hello, Judy, are you there?
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
I'm going to put in a new garden, and I'm putting in some Russian sage and some other bushes. Now, I heard something about this no-till garden. What are your thoughts on that? Should I till it up first? The no-till is to put the cardboard down first, and is it any certain kind of cardboard I'm supposed to put down, or what?
I think that is totally bogus. I think you got to work our soils, our clay soils. I'm assuming you live in a normal, you know, area here in the metropolitan area. And so adding organic matter to the soil, then rototilling it. And then have you bought the plants that you're going to, you know, add to the garden space yet?
I bought a couple of them, but that's all, just two of them.
Okay, because I was going to say I would hold off and, you know, rototill everything, get the organic matter into the soil, and then go ahead at that time and do the weed control that you need to do. And I know that you don't want to do necessarily an herbicide type thing from what you're talking about with the cardboard, but I just, you know, again, depending upon what this space was prior to this point, was it lawn? Was it a garden space prior to this? What, you know, what was going on there?
It was a lawn, but no grass or anything was growing there. So I thought I'd make it into some shrubbery.
Well, that's, you know, that sounds fine. So, and you know the amount of sun that that comes into this particular area, because the Russian sage is going to need pretty much sun all day long every day to be successful.
Yeah, it's full sun there where it's planning on doing it, but I didn't know. I just got my tiller reserviced, and so I didn't know whether I should do that, or because I live in Troy, Missouri, and I do have a lot of clay soil here.
Right.
And I didn't know whether that cardboard thing was a good idea.
Yeah, I mean, you can do the cardboard, but I'd still rototill first. And the cardboard is going to, you know, it's going to help a little bit, but it's not going to eradicate the future weed circumstances. So it's not, you know, it's not going to get rid of anything or everything. So just good luck with that.
Okay, thank you so much.
Certainly. And now let's head over to Don's yard. Hi, Don.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I was just wondering, I've got a number of hydrangeas that are, they still have their white plumes on them, and some are beginning to turn a little darker. When do I trim the hydrangeas back, and how far do I trim them back?
Basically, since they are in flower now, that means they're summer bloomers as opposed to springtime bloomers. So you can prune them anytime, all the way, you know, come even, let's say, as you could do it in the fall if you want. You could do it as late as like Valentine's Day or the Ides of March in the spring before any kind of new growth begins. And that's because they don't set the flower buds until after that, you know, that particular point. But, and I don't know how big they are, but I would never cut off more than like 20 20% or so of the height. And you don't really have to do it. You really can just cut the flowers off. You don't have to actually cut the stems back.
Yeah, these are getting kind of really big, and I kind of wanted to sort of control them a little bit. And they're standing, you know, if I stand next to them, the tallest one is like 5 feet, 10 inches above the ground.
Oh.
And, but that's not, you know, the rest of them are smaller, but they're, it's a big bush. I got about three or four of those. And so you figure cutting a third of those, cutting a third of the stem height back is okay, or?
Well, a third might be a little bit much, because what you have to do or be concerned with is if you cut it back too far, there may not be functional buds that are going to be pushed out from, you know, from the remaining stem. So just be cautious about it. I would say, you know, go a third and see what happens. You can call and say, I knew what I was doing and you don't know, meaning me. And so consequently, just try it and see what happens.
I'd never do that, but they're just pushing out. They're bushing out so much, and I wanted to kind of control them a little bit. So they're overtaking some other plants in the air, in the vicinity of the plant. So
right,
that's why I was curious.
Okay, well, good luck with that.
Thank you very much. Bye bye.
Yep, 314-436-7900 or 1-800-925-1120. Back after these messages.
Welcome to the St. Louis Composting Garden Hotline.
Broadcasting live from the Arch Grounds. Brought to you by Gateway Arch National Park. Celebrating National Public Lands Day today. Visit nps.gov/Jeff for details.
Guess what, folks? 314-436-7900 or 1-800-925-1120. When I was walking around with Pam, the park ranger, I saw a dog, you know, on a leash, of course. But she also said that what they do is they have some great stuff, and especially here today at the Gateway Arch National Park on the National Public Lands Day. It's Bark Ranger. So you can have a picnic with your dog, 1 to 2, enjoy a pet-friendly picnic on the arch grounds, pack your lunch, and leash your dog. The event will include games and giveaways. Plus, your pet can be sworn in as an official Bark, B-A-R-K, Bark Ranger. So that's kind of cool to do. So you can come down here. There's other stuff going on as well, but I thought the dog thing was kind of cool and neat. Let's head back to the phones. Let's go to Mark's yard. Hi, Mark.
Hey, good morning. I appreciate you taking my call.
Sure.
We had some landscaping done this week, and they put some sod grass in some areas, and I was wondering the best way to keep that going to set up. I was told that I should soak the sod completely twice a day. And then the other areas we had just seeded on topsoil with some, it was grass seed and some starter fertilizer just on some topsoil that has straw placed over it. And I was wondering about the best watering system for that.
I would say watering sod twice a day, soaking it, is too extreme. So I think once a day should be adequate. And as far as your seed goes, just keep it damp, not soaking wet. And we're kind of on the cusp as far as seeding goes. Mid-October is about as late as you can get it down, get it germinated, and get it established so it can be established enough to face our cold wintertime circumstances. And last fall, we had a really early cold frost, and it did some major damage. So it's a little bit of a roll of the dice, but good luck with that.
Well, and also for planting in a garden that's been tilled, I should probably wait till spring rather than trying to do anything at this time of year?
No, you can do it this time of year is actually a lot better than spring. Spring, the ground is really cold, so root system advance is very, very slow at best. And then the plant material with the root systems hardly well established, is going to face our summer times. And summer is the worst season for a lot of newly installed plant material. So fall is the best time to do it because the ground is warm, and then they get to go to sleep for winter time.
Oh, okay. Well, great. Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
Sure. My pleasure. And now let's head over to Kathy's yard. Hi, Kathy.
Hi, Mike. How are you?
Hi. Very good.
I have a question for you. My hydrangeas that I have waited all summer for are now blooming. I have five bushes, and they each have like 20 buds on them, but obviously they're very slow in opening. Do you think that I could take those cut off about a foot, bring them in, and try and force them to open? I just think, is all of the energy going to those buds?
Well, I mean, so they're new installations? Is that what they are?
No. I've had them for years. They just didn't bloom this year.
Wow. Well, that's kind of surprising. I would say just leave them alone. You're going to be better off to do that. You could cut a few of them off and bring them inside and see what happens, but I don't know if it's going to make that much difference at all. As far as
maybe all the energy that they have is going to those blooms and nothing's being stored for next year.
Well, no, they're pretty tight. As long as they're established and they have foliage and everything else, you should be fine.
Okay. I knew you'd have the answer. Thank you so much.
Sure, my pleasure. And if you do have any questions or concerns, 314-436-7900 or 1-800-925-1120. Let's head over to George's yard. Hi, George.
Hi. I have two questions. Last weekend, I aerated, overseeded, and put compost down. So when do I fertilize next, and when can I cut the grass next?
As far as you can cut the grass pretty much any time that you want, I would say wait for probably 14 days or so before you do a cut. And fertilizing, you're going to use a winterizer type fertilizer. I'm assuming that you have a cool season lawn, a fescue or a bluegrass.
I have fescue, correct.
Okay. So, I mean, do a winterizer type fertilizer. You can do that sometime before, get it done by the end of October.
Okay. And then I'm good next season to just do normal fertilizing.
Yes, right. So with the cool season lawns, you don't fertilize in the summertime. You fertilize in the spring and fall only. So coming out of winter, you can put the fertilizer down. And again, in the fall, but nothing during the summertime because it causes some growth and the cool season lawns can't handle the heat of our summer times.
Understood. Okay, thank you, sir.
Yep, my pleasure. And 314-436-7900 or 1-800-925-1120. Back after these messages.
Welcome to the St. Louis Composting Garden Hotline.
Broadcasting live from the Arch Grounds. Brought to you by Gateway Arch National Park. Celebrating National Public Lands Day today. Visit nps.gov/Jeff for details.
Some of the things going on today here at the Arch Grounds. Yoga, picnics with your pets, Monarch Sustainability Fair. That means butterflies. What could be better than that? And if you'd like to help, clean up the riverfront. Yes. So it's a volunteer project, so all kinds of different things going on today here at the Arch Grounds. You can visit their website to get a little bit more information before you head down, and that would be fantastic. So let's go back to the phones. Let's go over to, Kathleen's yard. Hi, Kathleen.
Hey, Mike.
Hi.
I've got a pretty large yard. I've got some woodland gardens, flower gardens. And the bottom line is the weeds have been trying to weed and mulch. Now, the weeds have just outweeded me. Should I just go on and mulch over them and then wait until spring to use some herbicides? Or what do you recommend?
I would say, if you can, you know, control the, you know, any kind of spray drift or anything like that, I'd go after the weeds right now. and okay. try to get them knocked down as much as possible. And then go back again and just stay on top of them, because if you just put mulch over the top of them, if they're perennial weeds, it's not going to do anything at all for control. And then also, if they're annual weeds, then you might want to think about using a pre-emergent next year as well.
Like Preen or something?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. So, once again, tell me about that yard devil lirio, the one that takes so long to kill. What's the process again?
Basically, the ripe is a very, very tough ground cover. So what you need to do is open up some wounds. So if you can have somebody or yourself mow it and then put the herbicide down right after the mowing is done, that will, you know, sort of like accelerate the process of getting rid of it.
Okay. Sounds good. All right. Thank you.
Sure. My pleasure. And now let's go to Ann's yard. Hi, Ann.
Hi, this is Ann. Hey, Mike, I have a question for you.
Okay.
So the question is, I have an oak tree. The problem is that starting like July, the leaves start to fall off. The leaves got real dry, a little bit at a time, and start falling off. So I'm not sure if there's something wrong with the tree or not. It only happened the last 3 years. So do you think I need to get an arborist, or there's something wrong with the tree?
How old is a tree?
Maybe 10, 15 years old.
So it's still pretty young. I would say maybe just the circumstance it's growing in is just not ideal. But if you're just losing some leaves and it's not drastic as far as the number, then I wouldn't be overly concerned with it.
Yeah, we have to go up there and rake a leaf almost every day, and we get 2 recycled bins worth of leaves. And the leaves
Yikes.
Are all dry.
Yeah, I would say maybe you should get a hold of an arborist and have them come out and take a look.
Okay, another question is about my boxwood plants. I think it got invaded by like a spider mite. I didn't know that at first, but then we should have known, because we never have spider webs around our area. But this summer, spider webs appear everywhere. And one of our boxwood got a pretty big brown spot. So should I cut that brown spot out, or will
yeah.
it regenerate?
No, if the foliage is brown, I would say just go ahead and cut that out. But if you're seeing, spider webs, that's not spider mites. Spider mite webbing is really small. But there just seems to be a prolific number of spiders throughout the entire region. I've got a bunch of spiders on mugo pine and some boxwood as well. But I just go out every time I see them and, use a hose and knock them off.
There's no, spray that I can use, vinegar and water, soap and water, or something like that?
You could, if you want to kill them, you can, but just watch out, it's not going to make that much difference as far as the overall health of your plant. It's more of an
right.
aesthetic call on your part.
Yeah, but I figure if I knock down the webs, to just rebuild,
Yeah, right.
Okay, I just keep on doing that. Well, thank you for your help.
Sure, my pleasure. And let's see if we can get George. Hi, George.
Hey, Mike. Good morning.
Good morning.
Quick question. Bought a hydrangea. It's a strawberry vanilla. Bought it last Friday, planted it. It's doing very bad. I don't know if I should be expecting something more than what I'm really looking at, or can I cut it back down and just cut all the flowers off and cut about 3-4 foot off the ground?
Yeah, I would definitely cut the flowers off because of the exhaustion factor. And if it's really looking wilted, just hopefully you planted it correctly where you've got a nice wide hole and a good location.
Yeah.
And with a new installation, you should water it pretty much every day for about the first 2 weeks.
Oh, okay. Okay, good. Okay. So just go ahead and cut it back down a little bit and cut the flowers off.
Right.
Okay. All right. Sounds good. I appreciate it.
Sure, my pleasure. And now let's head over to Russell's. Hi, Russell.
Yeah, Mike. Hey, I've got an azalea that's like 10 foot across, and it's overwhelming. If I cut that back beyond the green portion of it, am I going to do damage to it?
Yeah, basically you're killing it. So okay. In other words, back on the part of the stem that no longer has any foliage, there probably is not any kind of functional buds still there along that stem. So it's just going to look like a big bunch of dead sticks.
Okay. Okay. Well, it's overgrown its area. It's beautiful in May, but I don't know what to do anymore. Okay.
Well, you're lucky. A lot of people would like to have a big azalea. So you've had great success with it up to this point for it to get that big.
Yeah, every year. But at some point in time, it's going to overtake the walkway to the door.
Right.
Okay, maybe I'll handle it for another year or two and then put another one in its way. Okay, thank you. Thank you for what
Certainly.
You're doing.
Yeah, my pleasure. Thanks for having me on your show. And here we are. The sun is really nice and bright. The shadows are great here at the Arch Grounds. It's so nice to be. I like being in the studio and everything else, but it's nice to be out in the fresh air. I used to do a lot of remote broadcast, but over the last couple of years, there's only been a few. So I really greatly appreciate the National Bi-State Development Gateway Arch National Park for inviting me over for this morning. It's good fun. So if you do have any questions or concerns about your landscape, you can give us a call at 314-436-7900 or 1-800-925-1120. If you're looking for some fun, well, why not head down to the Arch Grounds, because there is all kinds of things going on today. I mean, like I said, I'll repeat it a little bit. You can do yoga underneath the arch. You can have a picnic. You can bring your pets. You can check out the garden that contains a lot of plant material that were probably growing naturally here when Lewis and Clark came and discovered St. Louis, basically. So many, many, many different things. And a very important thing as well is cleaning up the St. Louis riverfront. So if you can volunteer, come down. There's not a whole lot of debris, but there is some. So to keep it clean, that would be fantastic. And the Mississippi River really looks nice, even though it is low. Apparently it's getting, we haven't had any rain. So while you're doing this, think about turning on your sprinklers, your irrigation system, and everything else. And speaking of irrigation, I ask, is the Arch Grounds irrigated? Yes, they do have an irrigation system as well. So it's really important that your plant material, the soil, and everything has moisture going into the cool season, because today is actually not only this fantastic day here at the Arch Grounds, but it's the first day of fall. So fall is here. It's arrived. And what happens is, if we have a dry circumstance, there's going to be air pockets around the in the soil, around the root systems of your plant material. And then cold air can sink down in there and do some damage to the feeder roots of your plant material. That's whether it's a lawn, whether it's a shrub, whether it's a tree, whether it's a perennial, ground cover, it doesn't matter. So that's what it's all about. So all kinds of other stuff going on in the outdoors as well. Garden centers have...
Hi, it's Sierra Miller. I can't wait for you to check out my new collection of shoes and accessories at Designer Shoe Warehouse. If you love shoes as much as I do, then trust me, I got you. From cute sneakerinas to the perfect flip-flops to stunning heels, these shoes are all style, no drama. It's a girl's girl summer, and DSW has just the shoes. Shop the Sierra Miller collection right now at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Whoa, okay. This one says you get a free phone if you switch. Hey, this one also says you get a free phone if you switch.
Yeah, they all do, hon.
Huh. The T-Mobile one says their customers had the lowest wireless bills versus the other big guys over the past 5 years. And their latest experience plans have Netflix included. plus a year of Dash Pass by DoorDash. Mm-mm-mm.
Hang on, let me see that. Oh yeah, we're switching.
That's what I'm talking about. Do we clap now or...
At T-Mobile, get savings that keep stacking up. That's value you can feel every day. And right now, bring your phone to T-Mobile and we'll give you $400 when you switch.
Savings based on Harris X billing snapshots from Q3 2021 to Q4 2025 compared to average AT&T and Verizon bills. Comparison excludes discounts, credits, and optional charges. $400 with new account on qualifying line. Unlocked device credit ported 90 plus days with device and carrier entirely redemption required. Virtual MasterCard typically takes 14 weeks. No cash access and expires in 6 months. Card issued by Sunrise Banks N.A. Member FDIC. Visit T-Mobile.com.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Personal finance can feel like a pop quiz you didn't study for. This podcast is your study guide. On NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast, you'll hear from trusted journalists who explain the why behind major financial decisions. You'll get research-backed insights and clear pros and cons, whether you're planning a big purchase or just want to grow your wealth. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
At Lowe's, we're about to kick off something epic for fans who want more messy. And trust us, you'll want to be a rewards member when it happens. Join for free and get access to messy exclusives, surprises, and more. Head to lowes.com/moremessy. Now's the time to get in because members get more at Lowe's. Loyalty programs subject to terms and conditions. Visit lowes.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
A lot of great plant material. So just realize that there's a lot of stuff going on. Mike Miller, KMY's Garden Hotline. I will see you after the news.
In his octopus's garden in the shade, I'd ask my friends to come and see.
Now, at your service. Welcome to the St. Louis Composting Garden Hotline with Mike Miller on the voice of St. Louis, KMOX.
Broadcasting live from the Arch Grounds. Brought to you by Gateway Arch National Park. Celebrating National Public Lands Day today. Visit nps.gov/Jeff for details.
Yes, folks, it is the KMOX Garden Hotline second hour, which is the tip of the trowel hour. Special on-air recognition for individual, group, or situation that's made an impression on me during this past week, or maybe it would be this morning. It is brought to you by St. Louis Composting, 636-861-3344. But right now, if you have any ideas, questions, concerns, or comments related to your plant world, whether they're plants inside, outside, or inside plants that need to come, that have been outside, that need to come inside, you can just give a call, 314-436-7900 or 1-800-925-1120, and we can talk about it. Thanks for having me on your show, where discussions can range from making the right plant selection for the location. How often do I get calls with people that have had great success with their plants, but they never really looked at the mature size of the plant, and now they're overgrowing the space, and they're kind of like, uh-oh, what do I do now? How far can I prune it back or whatever? How about the annuals? Should you continue to fertilize your annuals? If they're looking good, yes, definitely continue to fertilize. If you're buying some mums that are in pots, that are basically have been grown in pots, not in your landscape, just kind of consider those annuals. They're probably not going to be able to survive if you pull them out of the pots, whether you do it right now or after they finish blooming. Survivability is going to be somewhat limited. And how about those elephant ears, those cannas, those other summertime bulbs? It's about time to start getting them cleaned up and maybe brought indoors. Well, lately, over the last couple years, I've left some of mine outside, my cannas and elephant ears, and they've survived our winter time. Is it time to be planting daffodils or tulips or things like that? It's a little bit early for tulips, but the daffodils can be put into the ground right now. And how about your lawn? How well is it doing? How about the roses? Do they need to be pruned? Your water gardens, you're getting some algae on it? Ooh. Let me share my thoughts, but please remember my answers, comments, and opinions is not the only garden path for you to take to achieve your success, but strictly offered for you to consider. Two very important players. Brian's here and Drew is back in the studio. So I'm such a horrible person. It takes two people to keep me under control. And so if you do call, Drew just needs your first name and then it'll put you up on the caller screen. So that's what it's all about. I'm Mike Miller. I've been doing the Garden Hotline since 1994. And every Saturday morning we get together. And if you'd like for me to come to your home and do an on-site consultation for you, which I call a walk and talk, you can go to my website, MikeMillerDesigns.com. On the homepage, there's my email address and phone number. Today's tip of the trowel, as I said before, is brought to you by St. Louis Composting, 636-861-3344. Tip of the trowel goes out to Pam and all the other park rangers that keep everything just running smoothly here at the Arch Grounds. Whether they're walking, whether they're driving through with vehicles and things like that. So the tip of the trowel goes out to all the park rangers here at the Arch Grounds. And the Arch Grounds is, it's unbelievably unique. And today is a very special day. And not only just to come to enjoy, but just to know that there's basically 5 miles of pathways wandering through. So whether you're here for relaxation, whether you want to look at some of the specific plant material that may have been very much the same as when Lewis and Clark, well, not in the same location, but the same type of plant material, there's just kind of really neat stuff going on. And maybe why not ride 630 feet up in the tram? Yeah, that could be fun as well. So it's just diverse landscapes, all sorts of unbelievable stuff. There was actually a couple shrubs that I saw that I couldn't think of what exactly they are. So I'm going to have to go home, think about it a little bit more, and then get those worked out in my mind. So if you do have questions or concerns, 314-436-7900 or 1-800-925-1120. Let's go back to the phones and let's go to Jim's yard. Hi, Jim.
Good morning, Mike.
Good morning.
I've got both the front yard and backyard. I've let clover just basically take the whole yard over. And I'm wondering, can I do anything in the fall, and what's the best process on this?
Well, why not just live with the clover?
Well, I was thinking about that. But it does have blooms, I guess, in the spring, and it's not all green.
Well, it has white flowers.
You're right, right. I guess a lot of people just leave the clover in and that's
right. It's great for the bees and great for the pollinators and things like that. So, there's been circumstances where I've done walk and talk consultations in people's yards, and it takes very little mowing. It never gets really tall or anything else, very low care. It has the ability to pull nitrogen out of the air and store it in the root systems. So that just helps enrich the soil just overall in general. So, but if you want to go, a monarch butterfly just flew by. But yeah. if you want to go after, and revamp your entire yard, it's going to be a long, involved process to get, the clover under control, and then to get a new lawn established is going to be lots of work.
Well, I just might get used to that clover then.
Yes, I would say embrace the clover.
Okay. All righty. Well, thank you, Mike.
Certainly, my pleasure. And it's, you don't have to do it, but I think it's something more and more people should think about doing. And it's a philosophy that I grew up with my father growing up in Ellisville. My parents, my father's philosophy with our yard was, if it's green, it's good. Now, I don't agree with that entirely, but we did have some clover, and it was nice to have the clover stand. So Mike Miller, KMOS Garden Hotline, back after these messages.
Welcome to the St. Louis Composting Garden Hotline.
Broadcasting live from the Arch Grounds. Brought to you by Gateway Arch National Park. Celebrating National Public Lands Day today. Visit nps.gov/Jeff for details.
Yes, folks, we are at the Arch Grounds and we're on the north edge. We're right next to the Eads Bridge. Eads Bridge next year will be 150 years old. It's hard to believe. And the train tracks that go underneath now carry the metro train, trams. And originally it was for real trains. So, I mean, just an amazing circumstance and situation. I'm sitting looking at the arch in the distance. It's probably maybe a quarter mile away from where we are at the Eads Bridge. But the landscape and everything else, there's plenty of people just strolling around. And even very early this morning, I was surprised at how many people were out and about. And one of the cool things that just happened, you've probably heard, but a monarch butterfly flew by. I think it wanted to get on air, but didn't really speak our language. So let's go back to the phones. Where should we go? Mick? Let's go to Mix.
Yes, sir, Mike. I've got a problem with Bermuda grass and honeysuckle, the vine type. Just wondering if you got any ideas about how to get rid of that.
Basically, you're going to have to go after it. As far as a vine honeysuckle, is it growing in among other plant material or is it growing all by itself?
No, it's in among the ivy.
Oh, so, I mean...
Yeah.
Then, there's nothing that's going to be selective enough to actually pick that up out and kill that and not something else. So that's kind of going to be a problem. And with the Bermuda, we're getting, towards the end of the season to go after it. But go just get a grass killer and try using a grass killer. Only one more application of any kind of herbicide on a warm season grass, because the weather's getting cooler and it's going to make it less effective.
So what do you recommend for a grass killer too?
Yeah, just go. I mean, there's all kinds of, just go to your favorite garden center and tell them you've got Bermuda grass and see which product that they have, that they would recommend for killing the Bermuda.
Okay, I'll see what I can come up with.
Right. But so your favorite garden center.
Going to have to kill the grass around it, too.
Yes. Unfortunately, that's the,
that's what's going to happen. Thank you, Mike.
Yep.
Thank you.
And let's head over to Shannon's now. Hi, Shannon.
Hi, how are you?
Very good.
I have a question. When is the proper time to split hostas?
You could do it right now if you like.
Once
the foliage starts turning brown, which I'm sure yours is, or just, losing the color, then you can just water them the night before, dig up the entire clump, and then you can chop it up into pieces if you like. Just making sure that you have some stem and some root systems, attached to each other.
Okay, perfect. Thank you so much.
Yep. And let's now go to Andy's yard. Hi, Andy.
Well, how are you today? And thank you for
Very
what
good.
You do. I have a problem with mold.
Well, unfortunately, that means you have a fairly good yard because moles are in your yard because you have earthworms and that's their main meal. So the only effective way to get them under control is to use the traps, either Victor Spear or Choker Loop. There are, there is a product called Kaput, which is an injection type gel type thing that you shoot down into the surface tunnels, and that's the tunnel that they're using to go to, because they're hearing the earthworms crawl through the ground, and then they tunnel to that sound, and then they eat the earthworm there. This Kaput smells like earthworms, but it is poisonous, so you have a couple options an option besides the traps.
Very good. Now my landscaper wants to sod my yard. What's the process? And what's the best time?
It's a good time to do it now, just so he kills off, you know, most of the existing stuff and works the surface of the soil, you know, up before he lays the sod down. So in other words, he can't just lay sod down on the ground, you know, on the ground. At minimum, he has to at least do some core aeration. And it'd be better if he did a little bit more than that to, you know, work up the top 1 or 2 inches of your existing soil surface to, you know, before he lays the sod down.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
And get, yeah, I mean, weeds under control is very important too. And let's see now. Why don't we head, let's go over to Brad's yard. Hi, Brad.
Hi, Mike. Question, are you familiar with a chasty tree?
Chasty?
Chasty, C-H-A-S-T-Y.
No, I'm not familiar with that.
Okay. Well, question, is this a good time to be planting trees and shrubs?
Yes, it's a very, very good time. Like as said, the ground is warm, that encourages root system growth, and then the plants get to go to sleep for the wintertime.
Okay.
So this fall is by far the best.
Okay. And like what time frame, from now through into November, or is that too late?
You should be okay early November, but I wouldn't get past, you know, I certainly wouldn't go to mid, because we just don't know what our weather's going to be like. And three times the diameter of the root ball, but only 80% as deep, because you want the top of the root ball above the surrounding ground. So just make sure that you plant it properly, because if you plant it at the same grade as the surfaces or the soil of where it's going to be growing, then it could sink, and then you get water that settles around the roots, you know, around the trunk slash, and then it could do some damage to the root system.
Okay, very good. And then when this is a good time to overseed your yard as well?
Yeah, you've got until mid-October. After mid-October, don't put any seed down.
Okay.
It's
so
too late.
Is there something, a starter fertilizer or something called macronite or something that you can throw on there?
There's milorganite.
Milorganite, I mean,
that's
it.
Yeah. So you could do that with the seed, but, you know, like I said, if you have an existing lawn, at least rake your lawn before you put the seed down. It'd be nice and ideal if you put, you know, a little bit of compost on top of it as well as a milorganite.
Okay, so seed down, then milorganite and compost.
Right.
Okay, very good. Thanks for your help.
Yep, and now let's go to Mike's yard. Hi, Mike.
Hey, Mike.
Hey,
I have a question for you, and you mentioned the East Bridge earlier. Well, I have a question about a plant that was sizable before East Bridge was even built. We have a over 200-year-old oak tree in our yard. White
oak. Oh, my goodness.
A lot of living is taking place under that tree, and over the last few years, some of the peripheral branches scattered amongst the tree have been dying. And I've been reading, it's probably getting toward the edge of its life. And I'd like to know if there's anything I can do to help it along.
Nope, just enjoy it. But yeah, anything that's going to be that old, that is extremely old. I don't even know if there's, you know, trees that old in Tower Grove Park or at the Botanical Garden or anything like that. Obviously, there's not here at the Arch Grounds, because the Arch Grounds is not that old. But 200 years, it's sort of headed downhill.
You know, everything has to come to an end, but it's kind of sad because, again, so much living is going on in this tree. There's like an old wagon rear rim that they used once on the tree as a gate hinge or something. There's like the old square nails in it. It's just
see
it go, but everything must go. So
yeah,
I've been on the internet, and the more you look, the more opinions you get. But I read somewhere if you give it some fertilizer, nitrogen in the wintertime, that might help it along a little.
No,
okay.
No, it won't. Don't fertilize like that. If anything, you would do something called deep root feeding, where you auger holes halfway out from the trunk to the extension of the branches, auger holes about 6 inches deep, and fill them with compost. then you're feeding the soil, then your soil feeds a tree. But to directly try to feed a tree with fertilizer makes absolutely no sense at all.
Okay. Well, I know the soil's good. From the previous call, we have a lot of moles around it. So
right.
I'm sure the soil, I guess it's time to go.
Well, it's not going to be gone overnight, but yeah, I mean, things have a limited life, just like whatever it happens to be.
I'm with you, Mike. Again, I appreciate your input.
Sure, my pleasure.
Okay, thank you. Bye.
Yep, 314-436-7900 or 1-800-925-1120. Back after these messages.
Welcome to the St. Louis Composting Garden Hotline.
Broadcasting live from the Arch Grounds. Brought to you by Gateway Arch National Park. Celebrating National Public Lands Day today. Visit nps.gov/Jeff for details.
And National Lands Day is a great time to volunteer to help clean up the riverfront here in St. Louis at the Arch Grounds. Let's head over to Phil's yard. Hi, Phil.
Well, two questions. Is there a certain time you can plant or throw a Oostercomb sage down? And the second one is, will you be broadcasting from the Best of Missouri market?
No, I'm not from the Best of Missouri market. I wish I would. In the past, I've done that, but I haven't, you know, at least nothing that I see yet.
Okay.
And what was your first question?
When do you put down the seeds for the Oostercomb?
Seeds for the...
rooster combs.
I don't know what a rooster comb is.
They're also called coxcomb.
Oh, coxcomb. Okay. Basically, that's a, you know, a summertime thing. So, late spring, early summer.
Okay. Thank you.
Yep. And now let's see. Where should we go? Let's go to Mary Jo's.
Hi, Mike.
Hi.
Years ago, my husband planted four roses of Sharon on the south side of our house.
Mm-hmm.
And this year, they stopped blooming like about 3 weeks ago. And some of them were still loaded with blooms. But they don't get much sun there, so a lot of those buds didn't open. And now for next year, do I have to cut those buds off in order for it to bloom next year?
No, you don't have to do that. Basically, those buds are going to be dysfunctional anyway just due to the weather. So the fact that if they're no longer in the direct sun, that could have an impact on the amount of buds and flowers that are, you know, the buds that are set and the flowers that will open.
Okay. So I don't have to cut them off?
No, you don't.
Uh-huh.
They're just going to fall off with the foliage anyway. So, but there's some Rose of Sharon that, you know, in my neighborhood that are in the shade and the same type circumstances happening with them.
Okay. All right. Thanks for your help. I appreciate it.
Sure. My pleasure. And Anne Marie, how are you?
Can you hear me?
Yes.
I'm sure you covered this before, so my apologies for just tuning in now. It has to do with lawn care. I don't think I have the time to do the overseeding properly right now. So then my next choice is weed control. I can still do that now?
You've only got a couple weeks before things will start slowing down, even on the weeds. But yeah, if you can get out there and get it done within the next 2 weeks or so, then you're going to have a much more effective control as opposed to waiting. Because when plants slow down as far as due to the weather, then the herbicides are going to become less and less effective, basically day after day after day.
Okay, are you familiar with Scott Triple?
I'm
trying to remember what somebody gave me. It's a bag, I think it's called Triple. Is that a fertilizer or weed control? Are you familiar with that product?
Well, I would have to say you're going to have to take a look at it and just read the label. But usually it means it's going to be it could, you know, as far as timing-wise, temperature-wise, and everything else before you do an application. So just simply read the label.
So anything that says for fall, I could still do?
Yes.
Okay. If I did find the time to overseed, do I mow the lawn before I start?
Yes, but if you're going to do any overseeding, you got to get it done before mid-October. So you've got a couple weeks and then that's it. After that, the percentage of grass seed that's going to be able to germinate and survive the wintertime is going to be, is going to diminish.
Okay. So I don't have the capability or the time right now to aerate. I know that's best. How else do I prepare? Do I need to break up the soil in certain places?
Yeah, basically, I mean, you could just even use a leaf rake or a garden rake to, you know, to scar the surface. So when the seed goes, when you put the seed down, it's going to land on the ground and, you know, not onto the thatch that's in your lawn.
No, that's already taken care of. I keep that pretty clean. I guess what I'm getting at is I had a tree removed a couple of years ago, and one of those little backhoes came in, and they put ruts in the yard. And
ooh,
that's, you know, where I wanted to take care of putting in some better seed.
Yeah, I mean, the soil compaction in those kind of circumstances, you're going to have to really rake that pretty heavy duty. And if there's any kind of depression there, then that's going to make it even more difficult for the seed to survive in that situation. Weed seeds
right.
can survive in those horrible circumstances where lawn seed cannot.
Do I need to water the lawn to prepare it before overseeding?
You don't necessarily have to do it ahead of time, but for when you seed, you're going to have to water every day for about at least 2 weeks.
Right. So if I just do a regular drop spreader and do the whole lawn, I have to water the whole lawn.
Right. If you're going to put seed down over the whole lawn, you got to put any place you put seed down, you got to do the watering.
Okay.
Unless we have rain. If we have rain, then that's going to be different. But we haven't had any rain or any rain that of any kind of significant measure for quite a while. The ground is pretty darn dry.
Right. And any kind of mulch would be, a compost mulch would be good?
Yeah, just make sure that it's it's an organic type of compost, and stuff that's compost, just be careful about, you know, making sure that it's been a company that manufactures it or makes it or bakes it or whatever you want to say with a compost, that they do testing to make sure that you're not going to get some problems with the compost.
Right. How about cotton burr? Would that be a good one to put down as a compost over it?
It should be okay.
But again, I'm talking a full lawn, so I'm trying to
right.
think of something practical here.
Yeah. So, I mean, I would say, to be honest with you, I don't know how big your yard is, but I would just do, you know, one section at a time as opposed to trying to do the whole thing, because it's going to be a heck of a lot of work.
Okay. So what's more thank you for your time. What's more important, to get the weed control? I know I can't do both time-wise. I need, 2-3 weeks in between a weed control and
right.
a grass seeding. So of the two, where the lawn needs help, which would be more important?
I would say it's going to be a roll of dice, because we're kind of at the as I said before, you only got 2 more weeks or 3 weeks or so to get the grass seed down so it can get established. So maybe go after the weed control first, and then you know, just and then go after the weed control all next year, all the way up until, let's say, mid to late August, then put your grass seed down. But get the, as many weeds under control as you can before then.
Okay. And if I wanted to dig up a new hydrangea plant and give it to a friend and replace it with another type that I want, is that best to do it in the spring?
No. Basically, you could just water it the night before and dig it up and get it into a pot. And, you know, if you can, again, you got to do it pretty quick. You know, once you get past mid-October, then the chances of success with many, many things related to plant material is going to be somewhat limited. Okay. Cleo, how are you today?
I'm fine, thank you. How are you?
Very good.
My question is, I bought a banana tree stalk last year.
Uh-huh.
And it was like brown. So it grew. I don't know how to preserve it for next year.
You have it in a pot, correct?
Yes, I do.
So, I mean, you can bring it inside and use it as a house plant if you want to, or you can cut the, or you can actually cut it off and just bring the pot inside and just put it in the, you know, in the basement and just leave it alone during the wintertime. But you can grow them as house plants for sure.
All right, maybe I'll try that because I bought a whole stalk and it was like brown and I had never done that before. I bought the little ones where I dug them up each year.
Right.
And after a while they went away.
So, yeah, well, I mean, just...
I'll try bringing it in the house.
Okay, good luck with that.
Okay, thank you.
Sure. Mike Miller, KMR's Garden Hotline, back after these messages.
Podcasting from the underlying tree lawyers. GetJim.com Studios.
KMOX. Welcome to the St. Louis Composting Garden Hotline.
Broadcasting live from the Arch Grounds. Brought to you by Gateway Arch National Park. Celebrating National Public Lands Day today. Visit nps.gov/Jeff for details.
5650. Okay. Let's head over to Dan's yard. Hi, Dan.
How you doing?
Very good.
I've got a compost question. I had a chicken house where I said I did have two big oak trees fell on it a couple of weeks ago during in St. Francis County here where we live.
Wow.
Anyway, luckily there's no chickens. I got rid of them 2 years ago, I guess. But I'm in the process of dismantling everything. Cutting up those trees and all that, but anyway, on the floor of the chicken house, of course, it's just regular ground and dirt. And when I pulled the frame around it, that darn thing was about almost a foot and a half deep of real soft black dirt, which is, you know, from the chickens, I guess. And apparently, you know, because every time I'd walk in there to get the eggs or something, I'd never get any stuff on my shoes at all because they just scratch all the time. Anyway, I said, well, that'd be great compost from my wife's little vegetable garden. And somebody told me, well, you got to be careful because it could be contaminated with salmonella. Have you heard anything like that?
Yeah, I mean, there could be some problems with that. Basically, with compost, you have to blend several different types of organic products together and then, you know, turn them and more or less let it cook just to put the, you know, chicken poop, you know, onto your landscape is not going to be something that's advisable.
Okay. Well, it actually is, it's not, you know, wet chicken poop or anything like that.
Right, because it's been a couple of years.
Yeah, it's been, you know, I guess I had chickens in there for probably 14 years, and probably the people before us in the farm had them in there too. But I guess, you know, you think I should mix it with something?
Yeah, I would. I mean, either grass clippings or, you know, some other organic material, because in and of itself is not going to be something that's going to be advisable.
Okay. All right. Well, that's no problem. I just wanted to make sure I did it right.
All right.
Okay. Thanks a lot, Mike.
Sure. And now let's go over to Doug's. Hi, Doug.
Yes, I had a black walnut tree cut down in my yard, and I had them leave about a 3 foot high stump there, and we're using it as a planter, and it works great. The only problem is all these little sucker limbs are coming up, and it now looks like a black walnut bush. What can I do to this to keep these sucker branches from coming out? I keep going out there and cutting them down, but they keep coming back. So is there something I should treat these with whenever I cut them off?
Well, basically, you know, I mean, I would just continue just to cut them off as they, you know, as the new growth begins. If you want to, if you want to use an herbicide, use Roundup for killing woody plants, and then spray it. You've got to spray it when there's leaves on these suckers, or else it's not going to do any good.
Okay, well, that's it. I'm not going to keep you any longer. Thank you. Have a good weekend.
Sure, that's my pleasure. And now let's head over to Bill's yard. Hi, Bill.
How we doing? Hey, Mike.
Good.
I'm out here in Dipper. I'm looking at this lilac tree, and it's got flowers on it. I mean, that's hard to believe. This time of the year to have flowers on the lilac tree.
That's very true. Usually it's going to be sometime in May, but just enjoy them.
Well, I'm enjoying it, but the tree has just about, leaves are just about all gone, and there's some green leaves coming up, but there's lilacs on them. And it's crazy for this time of the year. I have it by my goldfish pond over here, and it is amazing. I mean, I can't believe when you say that the weather has messed things up. It sure has.
Yes, it has. So, but just enjoy your lilacs for this time of year and have fun. And let's see. We are at the Arch Grounds. Unbelievable. Haven't been here for it's probably been several months since I've walked through the Arch Grounds. But this time of year, the color is not changing yet on the trees, but still it is a great place to take a nice stroll and just enjoy. The Arch Grounds is just nothing but fantastic. And of course, if you want to have some really fun, elevate your experience and take a tram ride to the top. It takes about 4 minutes to go 630 feet. Then you could spend some time just looking across the metropolitan area. It is just fantastic. So the Gateway Arch, Bi-State Development Gateway Arch National Park. Enjoy it. Mike Miller, KMY's Garden Hotline. Thanks to the people for the Arch Grounds for having us out. Thanks to Brian. Thanks to Drew. Thanks to everybody for making this all possible. See you next week.
Knows where we've been in his octopus's garden in the shade.
Hi, it's Sierra Miller. I can't wait for you to check out my new collection of shoes and accessories at Designer Shoe Warehouse. If you love shoes as much as I do, then trust me, I got you. From cute sneakerinas to the perfect flip-flops to stunning heels, these shoes are all style, no drama. It's a girl's girl summer, and DSW has just the shoes. Shop the Sierra Miller collection right now at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Whoa, okay. This one says you get a free phone if you switch. Hey, this one also says you get a free phone if you switch.
Yeah, they all do, hon.
Huh. The T-Mobile one says their customers had the lowest wireless bills versus the other big guys over the past 5 years. And their latest experience plans have Netflix included, plus a year of DashPass by DoorDash.
Mm-mm-mm. Hang on, let me see that. Oh, yeah, we're switching.
That's what I'm talking about. Do we clap now or...
At T-Mobile, get savings that keep stacking up. That's value you can feel every day. And right now, bring your phone to T-Mobile and we'll give you $400 when you switch.
Savings based on Harris X billing snapshots from Q3 2021 to Q4 2025 compared to average AT&T and Verizon bills. Comparison excludes discounts, credits, and optional charges. $400 with new account on qualifying line. Unlocked device credit ported 90 plus days with device and carrier and timely redemption required. Virtual MasterCard typically takes 14 weeks, no cash access, and expires in 6 months. Card issued by Sunrise Banks N.A. member FDIC. Visit T-Mobile.com.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Personal finance can feel like a pop quiz you didn't study for. This podcast is your study guide. On NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast, you'll hear from trusted journalists who explain the why behind major financial decisions. You'll get research-backed insights and clear pros and cons, whether you're planning a big purchase or just want to grow your wealth. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
At Lowe's, we're about to kick off something epic for fans who want more messy. And trust us, you'll want to be a rewards member when it happens. Join for free and get access to messy exclusives, surprises, and more. Head to Lowe's.com/more messy. Now's the time to get in because members get more at Lowe's. Loyalty programs subject to terms and conditions. Visit Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
Testing season is right around the corner, and this is when confidence really matters. When kids take time to review key concepts and strengthen their skills before assessments, it can make all the difference. IXL helps reinforce what they're learning right now, so they walk into every test feeling prepared, capable, and confident. IXL is an award-winning online learning platform that helps kids truly understand what they're learning. Whether they're building math confidence, strengthening reading and writing skills, or reviewing science concepts. Designed for students from pre-K through 12th grade, IXL delivers personalized, interactive practice that adapts to your child's level and pace. It's an easy, effective way to support learning as the school year heads into its final stretch. Studies show kids who use IXL score higher on tests, proven in all 50 states. IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now, and listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Thank you.
Sure. Mike Miller, KMR's Garden Hotline, back after these messages.
Podcasting from the Underlaw Entry Lawyers, GetJim.com Studios.
KMOX. Welcome to the St. Louis Composting Garden Hotline.
Broadcasting live from the Arch Grounds. Brought to you by Gateway Arch National Park. Celebrating National Public Lands Day today. Visit nps.gov/Jeff for details.
5650. Okay, let's head over to Dan's yard. Hi, Dan.
How you doing?
Very good.
I've got a compost question. I had a chicken house, where I said two big oak trees fell on it a couple of weeks ago during in St. Francis County here where we live.
Wow.
Anyway, luckily there's no chickens. I got rid of them 2 years ago, I guess. But I'm in the process of dismantling everything, cutting up those trees and all that. But anyway, on the floor of the chicken house, of course, it's just regular ground and dirt. And when I pulled the frame around it, that darn thing was about almost a foot and a half deep of real soft black dirt, which is, you know, from the chickens, I guess. And apparently, you know, because every time I'd walk in there to get the eggs or something, I never get any stuff on my shoes at all because they just scratch all the time. Anyway, I said, well, that'd be great compost from my wife's little vegetable garden. And somebody told me, well, you got to be careful because it could be contaminated with salmonella. Have you heard anything like that?
Yeah, I mean, there could be some problems with that. Basically, with compost, you have to blend several different types of organic products together and then, you know, turn them and more or less let it cook just to put the, you know, chicken poop, you know, onto your landscape is not going to be something that's advisable.
Okay, well, it actually is, it's not, you know, wet chicken poop or anything like that.
Right, because it's been a couple of years.
Yeah, it's been, you know, I guess I had chickens in there for probably 14 years, and probably the people before us in the farm had them in there too. But you think I should mix it with something?
Yeah, I would. I mean, either grass clippings or, you know, some other organic material, because in and of itself is not going to be something that's going to be advisable.
Okay. All right. Well, that's no problem. I just wanted to make sure I did it right.
All right.
Okay. Thanks a lot, Mike.
Sure. And now let's go over to Doug's. Hi, Doug.
Yes. I had a black walnut tree cut down in my yard, and I had them leave about a 3 foot high stump there, and we're using it as a planter, and it works great. The only problem is all these little sucker limbs are coming up, and it now looks like a black walnut bush. What can I do to this to keep these sucker branches from coming out? I keep going out there and cutting them down, but they keep coming back. So is there something I should treat these with whenever I cut them off?
Well, basically, you know, I mean, I would just continue just to cut them off as they, you know, as the new growth begins. If you want to, if you want to use an herbicide, use Roundup for killing woody plants, and then spray it. You've got to spray it when there's leaves on these suckers, or else it's not going to do any good.
Okay, well, that's it. I'm not going to keep you any longer. Thank you. Have a good weekend.
Sure, that's my pleasure. And now let's head over to Bill's yard. Hi, Bill.
How we doing? Hey, Mike.
Good.
I'm out here in Dipper. I'm looking at this lilac tree, and it's got flowers on it. I mean, that's hard to believe. This time of the year to have flowers on a lilac tree.
That's very true. Usually it's going to be sometime in May, but just enjoy them.
Well, I'm enjoying it, but the tree has just about leaves are just about all gone, and there's some green leaves coming up, but there's lilacs on them, and it's crazy for this time of the year. I have it by my goldfish pond over here, and it is amazing. I mean, I can't believe when you say that the weather has messed things up. It sure has.
Yes, it has. So, but just enjoy your lilacs for this time of year, and have fun. And let's see. We are at the Arch Grounds. Unbelievable. Haven't been here for probably, it's probably been several months since I've walked through the Arch Grounds. But this time of year, the color is not changing yet on the trees, but still it is a great place to take a nice stroll and just enjoy. The Arch Grounds is just nothing but fantastic. And of course, if you want to have some really fun, elevate your experience and take a tram ride to the top. It takes about 4 minutes to go 630 feet. Then you could spend some time just looking across the metropolitan area. It is just fantastic. So the Gateway Arch, Bi-State Development Gateway Arch National Park. Enjoy it. Mike Miller, KMOS Garden Hotline. Thanks to the people for the Arch Grounds for having us out. Thanks to Brian. Thanks to Drew. Thanks to everybody for making this all possible. See you next week.
Knows where we've been in his octopus's garden in the shade.
Whoa. Okay. This one says you get a free phone if you switch. Hey, this one also says you get a free phone if you switch.
Yeah, they all do, hon.
Huh. The T-Mobile one says their customers had the lowest wireless bills versus the other big guys over the past 5 years. And their latest experience plans have Netflix included, plus a year of DashPass by DoorDash.
Mm-mm-mm. Hang on, let me see that. Oh, yeah, we're switching.
That's what I'm talking about. Do we clap now or...
At T-Mobile, get savings that keep stacking up. That's value you can feel every day. And right now, bring your phone to T-Mobile and we'll give you $400 when you switch.
Savings based on Harris X billing snapshots from Q3 2021 to Q4 2025 compared to average AT&T and Verizon bills. Comparison excludes discounts, credits, and optional charges. $400 with new account on qualifying line. Unlocked device credit ported 90 plus days with device and carrier entirely redemption required. Virtual MasterCard typically takes 14 weeks, no cash access, and expires in 6 months. Card issued by Sunrise Banks N.A. member FDIC. Visit T-Mobile.com.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Personal finance can feel like a pop quiz you didn't study for. This podcast is your study guide. On NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast, you'll hear from trusted journalists who explain the why behind major financial decisions. You'll get research-backed insights and clear pros and cons, whether you're planning a big purchase or just want to grow your wealth. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
At Lowe's, we're about to kick off something epic for fans who want more messy. And trust us, you'll want to be a rewards member when it happens. Join for free and get access to messy exclusives, surprises, and more. Head to Lowe's.com/more messy. Now's the time to get in because members get more at Lowe's. Loyalty programs subject to terms and conditions. Visit Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch. Did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snap's, it's refreshing!